on State University Greek Impact on the Community of Campbell by Mr. Rufino Rivera at 63 Trimble Avenue, Campbell, Ohio, on 11/4/80 at approximately 8 p.m. Ms. Spirit, can you tell me if your parents are from Campbell, and if they're not from Campbell, can you tell me the reasons why they decided to come here?
All right. First of all, my parents are not, you know, were not born in the United States. My father was born in Kalymnos, Greece, and so was my mom. My father came to the United States at the age of 14. The reason was to get a job and try and help his mom and his other brothers and sisters. At that time, my grandfather had left Greece to come to the United States, and he stayed here quite some time. In fact, he died in the United States in the early 1900s. So as a result, my grandmother was left by herself, so my dad had to come up here and help her out by sending her money. He got a job in a restaurant, first in New York City, and then later moved to Campbell. In Campbell, he got a job in the steel mills, Republic Steel Mill. He worked there for 15 years or so. Later, he left and went to North Carolina, where he went into business with another man. He was also an immigrant. They opened up a business in North Carolina, and that lasted for like maybe 3-4 years. After the man, his partner died, my dad returned back to Campbell and got a job in Youngstown Sheet and Tube and worked there till he retired. Now my mom, she came up to the United States in 1947. She was brought up here by a cousin of hers who was living in Campbell. And it was a proxy that she and my father would get married. And this is how she came up. So my mother got married in the United States and stayed here, had my brother and myself, and she works as a seamstress for Shylockson in Youngstown. She did that before she worked at home, sewing for various people to make a living.
Ms. Spiritus, could you tell me what kind of structure exists in your family now? And also, can you touch on your background, starting with your childhood up to your present status, and what are your future endeavors?
All right. As a young child, I remember growing up, it was a very strict household in that my father was the patriarch of the family. You were not permitted to do anything unless he told you to. My mother was also under his wing. I mean, it was a very strict, you know, structure. My brother also was brought up in this fashion. In a way, it was sort of inhibiting in that, you know, you were so dependent on them, and it was very difficult to break away. The thing with them, they were always insistent upon about school and getting an education. This was their main interest. They had no concern for recreational parties of any sort. You know, their concern was go to school, get good grades, go to college, make something of yourself. You know, don't work in the mill like I am. This was his favorite expression. So as a result, this is what we did. And I went to college I'm a teacher now presently. I teach art at Memorial High School. My brother is a doctor. He's presently doing his interning in Toledo, Ohio. And I don't really know what I'm going to do as far as, you know, if I'm going to stay in education or further my endeavors in art. That I'm undecided.
In regards to your parents, Ms. Spiridis, being that they immigrated from Greece, how did they acquire to learn the language of English? Through what institutions at Campbell?
All right. My dad was an educated person in that he didn't finish high school in Greece. He completed his third year in high school when he came here. My dad had no formal training at all in a school here. He learned most of it through interaction with people on his own. He was very eager to learn the language. I think sometimes he cared about this country more so than he did Greece. He learned everything about the political system, the way people were, everything. He did speak very good English. Of course, he was living here, 45, 50 years, okay? So, but my mom now, she attended the, at that time they had like an adult basic program also. And this was at Gordon's School in Campbell, and she went there for a year or so and learned the language, learned how to write, at least write her name. She can talk well. Now writing, she has a difficult time with. She learned also to talk more fluently through work, going to work. My mom, after working at her job, she learned the language quite well. Now with us at home, we learned how to talk Greek. First of all, when we attended school, we did not know a word of English. We spoke Greek in the house. I was 4 years old, I didn't know a word of English. My brother and I went to kindergarten and we were foreigners, believe me. We didn't know a word the teacher was saying. We picked it up in school, intermixing with the children. We had no idea of what a school was. In fact, you know, everything was Greek. We had to talk Greek. That was the main thing. Also, there was no other way. So we finally learned the American language, the English language, but still. In our house, we spoke to our parents in Greek. We weren't permitted to speak English. The English we picked up at school. And then, of course, it was a lot easier with my dad. He spoke English. I could talk to him in English, but my mom, it was a little difficult. So it was a result with our mother. I mean, we had to speak Greek to her. And then also, all right, we did talk it in the house, but we had to go to school. Our church started a program, a Greek school program, where all of the children at the age of 7 years old had to attend Greek school. It was grades 1 through 7. It was a systematic school. You'd go 2 days a week, read, write. It was a good program. We learned a lot about our language and about our religion in Greek school. After the seventh grade, of course, most of us knew how to write, read Greek. If we had it was so much easier going to Greece. Like if we went to Greece, we knew everything what was said. Reading books was a lot easier. It was a very good program as a whole.
Who was in charge of the Greek school?
All right, at that time, Father Pappas taught Greek school, our priest of our parish. Today, I know that this was, well, when I went to school, this was some years back. I can't remember, but anyway, Today, Mrs. Thomas teaches Greek school. And she, I'm pretty sure, I don't know if she graduated from college or she's got a college degree, but the woman knows the Greek language quite well. She's done a very good job with the children. She teaches grades 1 through, I think, 5, and then Father Pappas teaches the older children, I think the 6th and 7th graders. He teaches them mostly the religious part, reading, spelling, and Mrs. Thomas teaches them the basics, the nouns, the adverbs, you know, the parts of speech. And it's with the two of them together, it's really it's a good combination.
Ms. Spiritus, can you tell me what impact has religion had in the cohesiveness of the Greek population in Campbell?
Religion is really the basis for this closeness that the Greek community in Campbell exists today. It is a very important role in the family, in the way they even think. To them, orthodoxy is it's very essential to them, and without this, I think this is what's kept them so close is their religion. And most of the people that have left Greece and are whatever lonely or homesick, their religion has kept them going and kept them together while, you know, in the United States.
In regards to the customs of the Greek people, are there any customs in particular that were once practiced in Greece that were brought back over here into Campbell? Such as, I understand they have the Greek Easter festivities. It falls a week after the American Easter. Is that a traditional celebration from Greece? Was it established in Greece, or was that created through the church over here in Campbell?
No, that's the way it is in Greece. It was established in Greece. They follow the same calendar as the people in Greece do. The customs custom and tradition. It's a very important part of the Greek family. Easter, the Holy Week. They go through every day as it was done supposedly when it did happen. The drinking of the vinegar on Holy Thursday when they wet Christ's lips. Every movement, everything they tried to capture it. There are other things, perhaps the bit of the diary. That also is part that was brought back from Greece, where there are some families. In fact, in my family, the daughter. They were really trying to fix up the daughter with this guy she was going to marry. All right, now they had no money, so the money came from her brother. Her brother married a girl, and this girl gave him $15,000. And with that money, they married off the daughter. I mean, they used to give money. Nowadays, not so much. They might give the groom a house. These are the same customs that are followed in Greece. They would give them a house, furnish their house. They might not consider it a dowry, but it is. Basically, it is just what it was in, just what they do in Greece. They brought that up to some extent. Not as much, but. They do follow some of their practices in that.
How about the significant value of name day?
They have the name day celebrations also, right? The saints' days. The name in Greece, it's a very festive thing when it's name day of a saint. and you're named after that particular saint, they come to your house, they congratulate you, they bring sweets. It's a joyous occasion, a joyous thing. They, you know, they, in fact, they celebrate that more so than they do a birthday. A birthday, they don't consider it as much as a name day. And in some households, it's a real big, a very big event. They'll have open house.
Ms. Spears, I understand that male Greeks are very possessive towards Greek women. Is that something carried over from old Greece, or is that something that was created in this community itself?
No, I really think it's brought over here because in my travels to Greece, I've noticed the way the men are. They're very spoiled, very demanding. A wife has no time for herself. Her every need has to be, before she does anything for herself, her husband has to be well taken care of. And that, I mean, to the extent where they've got to get his water, I mean, he won't get up to get a glass of water. She has to bring it to him. That is how they're very, very demanding, very egotistical, and they're very difficult, I think, you know, to live with and to be a part of. I mean, living here, it's very difficult for me to understand their ways.
Because of this impact, or this dominance by the males, particularly with the Greek people, what have the Greek women done about it? What kind of attitudes were established against this dominance?
Well, the women here have, most of the men are not like this here. Maybe they are at first, but I think most of the women have rebelled against this, and they have changed. They've come more, they're more Americanized, the men here. They've given the woman the benefit of the doubt, more or less. They're more compassionate to her. In my household, my father was he was very stern, and you know, everything was his way, but he respected my mom. I mean, if she was sick, he would help her. I mean, I've seen my father wash dishes and wash the floor, whereas a person from Greece would never do this, because I've experienced that. My aunt was dying in bed, and her husband would not help her. Her son helped her, and he thought it was disgraceful. So in order for the neighbors not to see him, he shut the shade, he put down the shade, the blinds, and he washed the floor and the dishes, because he did not want the neighbor to see him washing the floor for his mom. See, this is the type, it's disgraceful for a male to do a household chore, whereas the male in America, the Greek male, is a lot different in that respect.
What is your personal attitude in regards to the male dominance within your own culture?
In my own culture, well, I could only say from my own experience, okay, that my dad was very domineering, and to this day, I mean, I'm not upset with him or anything, because I think he's made me a fine individual. I mean, I've turned out to be a decent person, but it was very difficult living with that. I think maybe it was my temperament. I was not as aggressive or rebellious, okay, and I was able to put up with this, but in some ways he's hindered me in that I'm not as aggressive, and I was afraid to do a lot of things with my occupation, socially. You know, I was just afraid to intermix. It's taken me a very long time to get a hold of myself, get a grip on myself, and say, well, hey, I can do this. See, because he was so dominant, and he did everything. I mean, just everything imaginable. I wasn't permitted to use my own mind. This is what he's done with all of us. But we broke away from that, and in a way, I think it's sort of rough. It's hard. You know, it's a difficult type of life, you know, living this way. like I said, he hasn't hindered me, but it is difficult. I don't think a lot of people could stand for it. And I think most of the Greek people are like this, very, very domineering. You want to run your life, and tell, in fact, and to the point where they tell you who to marry. And, you know, he's got to be Greek. He's got to be Orthodox.
What is your mother's attitude about it right now, being that she by herself?
By herself, after the same way. She still feels this way. He still controls her to an extent. Very, very staunch about this.
Does she expect you to serve the Greek male hand and arm?
No,
or does she expect
not
you to deviate away from that, the traditional way, and become more independent of yourself?
Definitely, she would never, because my dad really never, you know, was rough with her or demanding with her in that respect. He was very he was more Americanized. I don't think she would ever want me to, you know, marry someone like that or be in a position to live like that.
What would be your mother's attitude and your attitude in regards to interracial marriages? I mean, for instance, a Greek marrying a Puerto Rican or a Greek marrying a Jew. Is there a certain bias that exists?
Oh, definitely.
Today? It does still exist.
Definitely.
Could you elaborate on that?
That prejudice will never, to me, it will never cease. You know, it's there. For whatever reason, I can't, to this day, I really can't pinpoint it myself, but one thing is the religion, most definitely. Most Puerto Ricans are Catholic. I don't know of any Orthodox, okay, unless they converted. Jews, that's definitely a no. It would be horrifying for me or anyone in my family to marry someone like that, in that religion or that nationality. They just don't, they cannot see a marriage work with anyone other than Greek. This is the way my family is.
How do you feel about it personally?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. As much as they controlled my life, which they have, I can't feel that way, because I've seen a lot of marriages work out and they're decent, they're good, but they'll never see that, never.
If you marry out of your race, or out of your ethnic background.
Race, whatever.
Would you practice Greek within your household?
I would like to.
Do you emphasize the importance of the language and the religion? Or would you expect to favor the husband's Catholic or his faith background?
Let's put it this way. I think, knowing myself, he would probably have to practice the Greek way, because it is so much in me, the customs, the tradition, the religion. It would be very, very difficult for me to accept his ways or his customs. That's maybe I could see their point in that way, okay? I would have to really, care for him in such a way that I would forget all this, but still, I don't think I could. He'd have to practice my way, or else I don't think it would work, because I know I would miss it. I would miss the tradition, the music, you know, the language, you know, my religion, you know, I don't know any other way.
All right. Ms. Spiritus, in regards to cohesiveness that exists in Canada among the Greek people, I understand that the Greek people have a tendency to have these social gatherings, whereas they have a specific way of dancing. And could you elaborate on the way dancing is for the Greek people, how much it means to them, what kind of foods are served, was it brought back from the old country, was it established here, and so on?
I think it was that all this, the music, the religion, all this was brought up from the old country. The music at one time was, they would have these socials, and because there were so few of them in this particular city, the only way of seeing each other and feeling good about each other and getting to, most of them knew each other, was to socialize in this way, and they would have these they would have dances or get-togethers at someone's house or rent a small hall. They try to with listening to music, maybe some of their hostilities or the anger they felt towards their fellow, you know, their fellow neighbors and stuff, because there was a lot of prejudice at that time. Most of the people were Slavs or English that lived here, and they were prejudiced against the Greeks at that time, and it was difficult for them, so they would get together and socialize in this manner. And each one would make their Greek food, their different, you know, they have different delicacies. There's a variety of foods that, you know, they would bring, and it was just getting together and just having a nice time, forgetting their problems. And they still do this too, you know, not as much, but they still do. They have the church's name day dance. They'll have their annual New Year's Eve dance, Easter dance, Thanksgiving dance. These are all, you know, ways of getting together and, you know, socializing.
Can you describe, or be more specific in regards to the dancing procedures? I understand that it plays a major role among Greek people, how they dance. It has some kind of significant value to it, just besides the dance itself. You know, it goes into, you know,
there's various dances. Different parts of Greece have various dances, and there's different styles and ways of expressing themselves. Most of them originated on different islands, okay, and they're all danced at the annual dances, okay. It's just I don't know any other way of expressing it.
What is the main dish for Greek people?
Main dish? Well,
or what does their diet consist of?
I would say they eat a lot of lamb, most definitely. A lot of their foods are roasted lamb and potato, you know, lamb and potatoes, lamb and a vegetable of some sort. One of their main dishes is phila, the grape leaves, with the meat and the rice. Pastizo is another dish. A favorite, one of their favorite drinks is ouzo, metaxa, cognac, another one. These are all another hors d'oeuvre, you might say, and it's common with the Greek people, is the ouzo with the octopus. Ouzo and squid.
Have you ever been to Greece?
Yes, I have.
Did you find was there a difference between the way people are structured here compared to their structure over there? The cohesiveness, in regards to cohesiveness, I'm talking.
In regards to cohesiveness, no, I would say they're the same.
What did you find so much different in Greece that is it's not so different here?
Well, they're political. You know, of course, their political ideas were a lot different from us. I expected them to be more democratic. Okay, we were brought up here. You know, the cradle of democracy, but they're not. They're in fact, most of the youth are very, you know, anti-democracy, and this is what really shocked me the most. They're not what, you know, in that respect politically. I didn't expect them to be so. Not saying all of them, but a great majority of them are really, their thoughts are really different politically. And also one thing, they're not as close as us too, okay? They're close, don't get me wrong. It's just that within their families, maybe because of the distance is great. You know, one might, you know, live in Athens, the other one might live, you know, just hundreds and hundreds of miles away, okay, and communication is poor. So maybe they don't see each other as often as we do. Of course, we're in a different situation living here.
Ms. Spirits, in regards to political aspirations, do you hold any specific attitudes in regards to politics in general? Do you feel that the political structure today could be structured in a way where it could be more advantageous to the people? Or what are your personal views on it?
I feel that the political structure is all right. I feel that if that person wants to be in politics and feels he's qualified and has shown his incentive in this way to help people or help the community, I feel his chances are as good as anyone else. For example, we have a Greek running now. Senator Michelle, I mean, to me, he's a very dedicated person, and he's shown this, as a senator, and I think, if he makes it as a congressman, he will do the same. He's ambitious, and he feels he wants to help people, and I think, anyone that is interested in that has the same chance as anybody else. Greek people are very supportive of their own kind. Of course, you do have that one particular aspect where they're very jealous too. We do have that, and it's a terrible thing to say, but most people are very supportive of them.
I understand from previous interviews that the church is more or less a political structure within itself, and that Reverend Pappas is considered to be the political mouthpiece among the Greek people. Is this true in your eyes, or do you see it in a different manner?
Well, he is our leader, okay? And if there is an announcement to be made or an endorsement of some sort, he will endorse this particular person or issue. He is very good, and I would say to an extent he is. But not to the, to the point where he's going to control your mind, this type of thing. But he does endorse many, many issues and candidates. And most people do follow his ideas and accept them.
What are your personal attitudes about Reverend Pappas? Do you feel he has done an efficient job with the Greek people in regards to the modes of communication? Or do you believe that Reverend Pappas he could do a better job with that position?
Most definitely. He has really held this community together. I really don't feel as though there would be another priest. Another priest could have never lasted in this community. Father Pappas is a very domineering, very hardworking person. He's kept us together. Kalemian people are very difficult people to not control. What I want to say is they're very hard to understand, I think. And Father Pappas is not a Kalemian, but he has managed to do a fantastic job. Most of these people that have come up here were very crude. I mean, in church, in just about every aspect you can, cover. I mean, and he has, I would say, has trained them to act properly in church, all right, to respect certain things that they never did in Greece. See, that's another thing with Greece. I think people in America are much more religious than the ones in Greece, even though, I realize the religion has come from there, everything's come, but we are even more religious, I think. And perhaps it's because of Father Pappas, I don't know. But I think he's done a very good job in keeping us together, the youth too, with the language, starting the Greek school, having these dances, whatever, once a month or twice, two, three times a year also has kept them together. He's instilled this tradition and custom in us that I don't think we could have gotten from anybody else. He's just kept up. I mean, he's a fantastic priest.
Is there an animosity that exists within the Greek people because they may come from a different part of Greece?
Oh, yes. For instance,
I understand that the Kalemian dominate the major population in Kamba, among Greek people. I understand that the Lipsoti, another group of Greek people, hold an animosity towards Kalemian people, and Kalemians in return hold an animosity towards Lipsoti. Why does that exist? Did that come from the old country, or that was that recreated here in Kamba?
That I don't know if they felt like this in Greece. I mean, I know that as a youngster, there was always a tension or a dislike for anybody else that wasn't Kalemian, you know, whatever. The Semians at that time, when the church first was first organized in 1955, there were a lot, majority of the people were Kalemian, and then there was your Semians, all right, and then a small group, maybe your Cypriots were here. Lipsotis were not, there weren't that many here, if any. They just started coming, immigrating now. But your Semians, there was a nice sized group, and there was always animosity between the two. Always. They felt they were, the Kalemians always felt they were superior. I mean, they are very, one thing about the Kalemians, they are very industrious, very. They're hardworking. And they're just, and then there was always a jealousy between them. Now where it originated, I can't.
Does this competition exist right now, today, the present time?
To an extent, it's not as intense. This is why I can't understand why it's lessened off. But there is that animosity. One will say, "Well, I'm Kalemian, I'm Cypriot, I'm better than you," or whatever. They still have this. And it's like that on the islands. Being in Greece and touring the islands, one island always thought they were better than the other. Or if you intermarry, you know, like one islander with the other, they were very upset because he's not Kalemian. I mean, you're Greek, but if you married a person from Rhodes, if you were Kalemian and married a person from Rhodes, there was a lot of animosity amongst the families.
This interracial animosity, do you think it has affected the people's attitude towards church, being that the church usually is integrated by so many different types of people within one specific culture?
Maybe with the younger generation, yes, I think it has. But the older people, there is no way of, they still feel that they're doing the right thing. You know, that this intermarriage, interracial, whatever, they cannot accept it. And they say they're religious and righteous and stuff, and yet they're not. But the younger generation could see this more so than the older generation. Like, I'm third generation. There's no way I could tell my mother, you know, that she's wrong, or my dad. No way. There's no way I can change their ideas. This is the way they've always felt.
What about the people from Greece over to Canada? You know, how did the Greek people hear about Canada?
Okay, I know what you're saying.
What got them to come over here to Canada? Why Canada of all cities, of all places in the United States?
Really, at that time, it was... when my dad came here, very many had settled here, very many Kalemians, and this is how he migrated here, immigrated here, because there was work, you know, America was work, and then through word of mouth, in my dad's case, this is how he came here. I really don't know how, I know I've asked my, you know, that same question, why camel? But at that time, the mills were, you know, in full capacity, and there was a lot of work, and this is why they did get here. They did come here. I know you're saying, why not Florida, or why not it's a hard question to answer.
So you feel personally that the mills had a major impact in influencing most groups to come to Campbell?
I would say, because most of them didn't have to really know the language at that time. And, you know, like any other job, you had to be, you know, you had to know the language. But most of them managed to get in very easily without a test or without, you know, any difficulty.
It's surprising you said that the mill attracted the Greek people to come to Campbell. I understand that most Greek people are very business-oriented people in regards, especially with regards to painting.
Mm-hmm.
What got the Greek people interested in this kind of business? Do you have any ideas?
In painting?
Sure.
I know that the painting is, in this at this point, very, very, you know, dominant. There's a lot of painting contractors in this area. I would admit, well, really, they are business-oriented, and that is where the money is. Bridges have to be painted. Construction sites have to be painted. Buildings, interior, exterior, have to be painted. And it has just become widespread. From one company, there's like, I don't know how many in the area, 10 or so. And this is another reason, I think, with the mills closing, I really don't think it's affected the Greek population in Campbell as much because of this, because of the painting companies. Most of the people that have left the mill and are young, that's what they're doing now, they're painting. So they don't feel the crunch as much. I'm talking about the younger people now. The older men, of course, that have had seniority and many years in the mills, of course, and are ready for retirement, it has affected them and their families. But basically, the younger generation is not affected as much in that they have their jobs, they're painting, and they're making money.
What are your personal feelings about the layoff of the mill and the other crises that are existing now, hanging over our shoulders more or less? What kind of attitudes have the Greek people established? Have they planned to go back to Greece or go down south, or do they plan to stay in Campbell and fight it to the bitter end and hope for some good results in the near future?
Most of the people that I know are people that are either retired. Most of the families I know are retired, and they have no choice. They're going to stay here, all right? And the younger families that I know, Greek families, are either moving down south, you know, they're able to make the move, or they're either trying to find other jobs, other interests, you know, other, either with the painting or what have you. But myself, it's very, I don't know, it's very sad, and there's really nothing, it seems like there's really nothing you can do about it. Just wait and see, just stick it out. The school situation's bad, enrollment's dropped, so you know most people are leaving. Someone's, you know, they're going somewhere, either to south, some people are going back to Greece. They've made enough money where they can go and open up a business in Greece or do something worthwhile. But these are people that have been here quite some time. For a man with a young family, it's impossible for him to pick up here and go to Greece. They don't have that kind of money. It's very, very expensive, you know, to open up a business. For the economy is very expensive in Greece. So I think most of the people are just sticking it out here, and they're just stuck here to see just what's going to happen, or waiting for pension or some sort of alternative, maybe small mills opening up, like they're talking about these small industries, maybe hope there. But basically, it's just a standstill, I would say.
Are you planning to stay here regardless of what the situation may be, or do you have any intentions of going back to the old country and starting all over there?
No, I would never go back. I would never go to Greece, okay, number one. I could never live that. I just could never live there. I'm not used to living there. I've gone to Greece, but I just couldn't go there and live. I probably will just stay here and see how it goes. And if it doesn't work out, maybe I will make them. Maybe I will go west or east, like, you know, to the coast. depending on a lot of things.
Ms. Spears, concluding our interview here, could you tell me what the future holds for the Creek people in Campbell? Do you see the Creek people staying in Campbell or just deciding to go elsewhere?
Well, I feel the people in the Creek people in Campbell I feel definitely will stay here. First of all, their church is here. Their foundation's here. They would never leave, even for economic reasons, and those are the most important, really, your economic reasons, your jobs. Like I said, painting will be here. There are jobs for most of the Creek people, and your younger generation has become more educated. They're more school-oriented nowadays than they were years ago, and I feel, you know, through their education, they'll be able to get better jobs and will probably, hopefully, stay in the area. I feel they will stay here, and I don't really feel that they would leave because of, you know, their relatives are here, their family, their close friends, and I really feel they will stay here until things really get bad.
Among the Creek people, is education emphasized as the way to succeed?
Yes. Most definitely, they feel that through education, not only will they succeed, but they will get a better job, a type of job that, you know, does not entail manual labor, the type of job that the old timers have been exposed to. This is why they stress the education, and they always will. They don't want their children to end up the way, in other words, to do the things they had to do. Work for minimum wage as a labor. You know, they feel through education they'll get a better job, a professional type of job. And this is why they stress the education.
Ms. Spears, one final question. Being an educator, can you tell me something that has happened in your life that has changed your own outlook about your culture? Do you want to see some changes happen within your culture, or are you accepting the culture the way it is?
Most of the culture that I've been exposed to, I accept most of it, all right. But there's one thing that I feel will eventually change, and this is the intermarriage, interracial, it will change, I feel, in that the younger people are not as prejudiced and not as biased as my parents were and their parents, and I feel this will definitely change. I know there's a religious factor, involved also. But I do feel that the younger people are not as biased, and that they will come around, and they, you know, their feelings. I mean, I feel that they will eventually. There, you will see more intermarriages, interracial. I really feel this will change. As far as anything else is concerned, I don't see any other major changes in our customs or traditions in the Greek family.
Ms. Curtis, is there anything else you would like to discuss before we conclude our interview? Something that you feel may be important that I should know, or if not, then I would like to thank you for your cooperation. Your time was deeply appreciated.
Thank you. I have nothing else to say, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
For this.